Welcome to the Not All Love and Light podcast with your host, Romy Moreno.
Today, I want to welcome Justin Gottlieb to the podcast, also known as the Tantra Love Coach. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Romy. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's about time you've come on together quite a few months ago, and you made such an impact in my life that like I'd love to share with my community any other ways that they could evolve and grow and heal. So why don't you introduce yourself, talk a little bit about who you are, where you started, and all that.
Sure. Well, thanks again. I'm Justin Gottlieb. Yeah, I guess I'm known as Tantra Love Coach now. It's been my Instagram and kind of website and all that kind of stuff for a long time. I have an interesting journey. Nowadays, I call myself a sexual freedom coach. I was really trying to figure out like, what is it that I really do, right? Because it's not all about Tantra, what I do. That is a foundation and kind of where I started. But it's been an evolution, and I'll try to quickly walk you through my evolution. I kind of was your average guy, except that earlier on in my life, when I started connecting with women, I really enjoyed giving to them. And I really wanted to create safe spaces. I noticed that there was too much of this transactional stuff going on, but I also wasn't like spiritual. I didn't have my spiritual awakening, but I found myself having, inviting like women over who I wanted to connect with and like basically giving them a tantra massage without knowing what it was. And like back then that was like rare. A lot of women weren't used to being treated that way, to being just being able to receive. So there was some kind of like gift that was going on early on in my life. And then of course I went on the conveyor belt of life, which meant going to college and getting my degree and then going into, you know, finance, which was pretty common. I lived in New York, so moved to Manhattan, did the whole finance thing for a while, and kind of was just wrapped up in that more matrixy corporate world, which served me really well. I mean, I would never trade that for anything. But I noticed that, you know, just as there are extremes in the spiritual world, there's extremes in the corporate world, and there's the good and the bad, and there's the areas that, you know, you could see people judging. And I think after a while, I started to feel like there wasn't a lot of fulfillment in what I was doing in the corporate world. I moved to different jobs. I started a dating company that was for men in Manhattan. So really helping men date better in their lives. And it was really kind of like a life coaching without really realizing it. And after a while, I realized I needed to get out of Manhattan, and I moved to Miami. And believe it or not, 6 months into Miami, I had my spiritual awakening. When I left New York, people were like, you're going to Miami because you're getting, you know, this is the party place, party capital of the world. And, you know, to get away from New York seemed, you know, a little bit counterintuitive, but of course the world works amazingly. And 6 months in, I found this training called Gratitude Training, and it was kind of like a landmark, but it was really community driven and really showing you how you show up in your life. And what I realized was, there was so much more to life that I didn't know. I used to kind of poo-poo the whole spiritual world and energy and all this. And I'm like, come on, this isn't real. And like, these people are just kind of running around as nomads because they can't get a real job, you know? And that's kind of what the view of the corporate world is sometimes of our side of things now. And I think that's changing, thankfully. But I ended up, you know, with that spiritual awakening, realizing there's so much more, realizing I wanted to be in service in my life, not just make money and do all these other things that, you know, I was doing before. And that led me to Tantra, because I started to take a coaching course and realize, well, I don't want to just coach people. I feel like there's more to do to support people in their bodies. There is this body, mind, spirit connection, and just coaching people really didn't feel enough for me. And also didn't feel like I was giving that gift, that unique gift that I felt I had, which was around sexuality. Because throughout my life, whether it was, you know, those early days of kind of giving tantra massages or moving forward, kind of inspiring people to live a more blissful life, to follow your fantasies and your desires and your dreams and goals and not settle, I realized that there was a gift in that too. So that's kind of where things evolved. And a couple of years into living in Miami, I quit my corporate job. I traveled around the world for a year. I went to various tantra trainings and festivals and retreats, and really got wrapped up and absorbed into that whole world, and started Tantra Love Coach. And that's where, you know, I started with Tantra Massage and doing workshops, and that has evolved now to working with couples, doing retreats. Now I do consulting for a swinger sex club here in Miami. So I've really combined the kind of business side of things with the spiritual sexual side of things. And And I have a really amazing retreat in Austin that I really love. So there's a lot going on, a lot of new things I'm up to, and also like a lot of evolution that I've been seeing in my own journey.
So for those people that have no idea what Tantra is, why don't you give us a little, rundown of what exactly is Tantra? What is a Tantra massage?
Yeah. And I'll even say for the people that think they know what Tantra is, because there's so many definitions and I found it's really hard to get people to be able to walk away and actually say, oh yeah, I went to this Tantra workshop or I listened to this podcast and I know what Tantra is now. Yeah. So I've kind of created my own definition. And if you could remember any of these four pillars of Tantra that I created, I think you'll be good to say what Tantra is. So to me, Tantra is self-acceptance, self-love, connection, and presence. So that to me is what the house of Tantra is built on. And it's more neo-Tantra, right? If you look at the Sanskrit definition, it's about expansion and weaving and source and all these different words. Protection, I think, is another one. And Sanskrit just has a lot of definitions for one word or two words. So that doesn't necessarily help us now if we're kind of in more the regular world, right? So how it helps us in this sense is that self-acceptance to me is the number one. To me, if I could accept my human experience and accept myself as I am, I'm being tantric. Now, where do we typically not accept ourselves? Our body, our emotions, our sexuality. And that's not because we don't want to, it's just because of what happens in our lives, because of society and all the things that are kind of thrust upon us. And in reality, if we just accepted those things, we actually would live in bliss. We'd have more peaceful relationships. We'd be more abundant in our lives. But we're constantly resisting what is. And if we don't want to be pushing against what actually is in our human existence while trying to enjoy this life. So that's the main thing that I really focus on. And of course, self-love, loving yourself. Do you really truly receive and give love? Do you know you're worthy of love? Do you do things in your life that serve you? And connection. Connection could mean connecting with yourself, connecting with others, connecting with this earth, right? So even just strangers you see walking down the street, do you make eye contact? Is there a moment of like, I see you, you matter? Do you feel that coming in as well in your life? And if not, do you seek out that type of connection? And then of course, presence. And to me, presence is not only like living in this present moment and enjoying everything that's out there, but also like knowing that you deserve to take up space in this world and in that exact moment, right? That you deserve to be there and you deserve to play big, that you don't need to hide who you are. So, with all of that, and the easiest state of the word, you could say Tantra is love and acceptance.
And honestly, that's what I felt from you 100% when we did our work together. I had previously worked with a Tantra coach years, just when I got divorced, as I was separating, I just felt like I needed to clear some things. And I have a lot of sexual trauma from my past. So I know that energy gets held in your body. And there's so much somatic work that we could do and so much healing work that we could do that this was an avenue that I hadn't explored. And when I came across your page, we were connected for some time before we actually started working together. But after I had my call with you, I felt my trauma is with men. So there's still some subconscious beliefs and some insecurities when it comes to being in a presence with a man, to the point that, I don't know if I told you this when we started working together, when I separated from my husband, I automatically thought that I was a lesbian. I didn't realize until years after, during an ayahuasca ceremony that it came up, that wasn't the case. The case was that subconsciously, I was so terrified to bring my children around men that I immediately just closed that off completely because I was scared. And then after that, I've been doing a lot of work. And because of that reason is one of the reasons that I wanted to work with you. And it was just divine timing as to when we started working together. And it's just your presence, the way that you coach, just your energy being around you. Like you hold space from across the room. I don't know if anyone has ever told you that, but our work together really came at divine timing for me in my life where I was going through another spiritual awakening for different reasons. 2023 was a really rough year with a lot of betrayal, a lot of, friendships that weren't really friends, people. I wasn't really being supported when I was going through my own shit. so many different shits, but it was, you're the one that really got me through some really dark moments. And I'm really grateful for you for that, because like I said, we were connected for so long, but the divine timing as to when we started working together made such a huge difference. And I remember after our work together, I noticed that I was getting people more attracted to me and I was getting more attention. And as a Scorpio, I kind of just don't like that. And I'm just like, Justin, what the fuck is happening? And I guess it opens me up to be more receiving, because I've been so much in my masculine energy for so long, which is survivor energy, that I didn't know how to just be in that feminine energy. And just that has been my journey for over a year now, like working with my feminine, being more in my feminine, learning how to receive. So again, thank you for that. And I'm just so grateful that the timing was exactly perfect.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the compliments, and I appreciate you trusting in me and seeing through the whole process and being able to really be accountable in the whole experience to create the new version of yourself, because a lot of people won't do that. And they'll just end up in maybe staying a lesbian their whole life and really hiding from what could be the most expansive experience of their life or the deep healing that they need. It's not easy, right? It's not an easy journey. I'm sure it wasn't easy, like having the call with me and then going through the intake and doing all the different things we did. But in the end, you kind of said it, like, it's not just in the mind. We also have to help move this out of the body. And that's why I think tantra massage is such a powerful tool for that. And it has to be the right time. You have to find the right person. It has to be the right experience. So it is important to, like, you know, do your research and make sure that the person you're working with is the right one for that moment, and also not to push yourself.
So you mentioned that you're doing a lot of couples work. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the couples have just been coming to me more and more, because I think more and more couples are realizing that there is opportunities for healing for themselves as well as in their relationship. But also there's a lot of couples that are coming to me, not with the forefront of healing. Of course, that's always part of it. But they're looking to expand in their relationship, expand their desires. And there's so many different ways that if couples are in a safe space, they open up and you start to hear, oh, I have this fantasy. And oh, I have this fantasy. And it's like, I didn't want to tell you because I thought this would do that and whatever. And even just the couples coaching work that I do, sometimes we have it planned where we're going to do some in-person work. Maybe we're going to teach tantra massage to the couple and all that. And then we don't even get to do that because for 3 hours, they're just talking. We're just coaching and talking, because when you have another person in the room or on the phone with you, that third party, it just allows you to speak more freely. You kind of know things aren't going to escalate to the levels that they might when you get into these like conflicts. And so they really take that opportunity to just dive in and talk. So it's a really beautiful experience working with couples, just to see like how much they pop off right away and how much they're able to share where they maybe didn't feel so safe to share in their own relationship. And it's scary to think that. It's like, wow, we can't even speak together in the ways that we want. So we need someone else to come in there and like be this kind of referee in a way. But once they have it, they're like, oh my God, this is exactly what we needed. And I know from my own personal experience, you know, I always want to have a coach or therapist or somebody there to support me in my stuff. Because, you know, we all go through that. We all go through these moments of like, I can't take my partner anymore, or I personally feel out of control, or I messed up and I made mistakes and now I need to like find a way to repair. So it's a really beautiful space for couples. I think tantra, as well as kind of any sort of therapy and coaching for couples, is a must if you really want to have a lasting relationship. And especially for those that want to like reignite the fire. I mean, that's one of the number one questions I get, is how do we do that? And a lot of the times it just comes with being really honest, creating a safe space and communicating openly about what is the things that would help you create that fire, right? I could give tools and exercises all day long and a lot of them work, but really what it comes down to for the couple is, can we have those deeply vulnerable conversations that, yeah, like I'm afraid to tell you this because, ooh, this is like my pain or wound from the past, or a wound maybe you gave me in a sense. Mm-hmm. And now I'm scared to come forth and like really open up to you. Or, hey, this is a fantasy I've had my whole life and I haven't been able to share it with anyone. And like, you know, I don't know, me as a partner, I'm like, I would love for you to share that with me. And I'm not going to get defensive about it if your fantasy is something that hurts my ego or whatever it may be. Right. So to be able to get into that space together is really beautiful. And the transformation is incredible. So yeah, I'm really enjoying couples work that I'm doing these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are looking to ignite the fire when in reality, they probably just never even had it.
That's also true too. Like nobody ever taught us how to be in relationship. Nobody taught us how to like even experience and explore our own body to have fulfilling pleasure, right? There's a big difference to just like watching porn and doing the thing you did since you were a kid, but it's a lot different doing it in a really blissful way where you're intentional about it and you're breathing and you're more in a sacred space. So to actually learn that now at this stage in life, it's amazing. And some people may think, oh no, it's too late for me or whatever. It's not, you know, or so a lot of people, unfortunately with couples, they want to, they stop themselves because they don't think their partner will want to do it too. Or maybe their partner is stopping them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately I say to people, you know, if your partner is inhibiting you from learning and growing together or healing your own wounds and things like that, then that's a big decision you have to make. Cause like, I wouldn't want to be in a partnership where my partner didn't allow me to, you know, get a coach or, you know, get support for things that I need personally or that I can tell we need in a relationship. Okay. So it's a, you know, and it's a lot for people, you know, people have not everyone has grown up with the kind of spiritual mindset, like, oh yeah, we should all get coaching and we should all talk about our feelings. Right. So really to be sensitive and to be caring and compassionate for that other person as well, while you go through this journey.
Yeah, it's huge. And there's also a lot of shame around some fantasies, and you have to really feel comfortable with your partner in order to open that up. So having someone there that could get it out helps, I'm sure. I haven't experienced it, so I can't speak from experience, but I'm sure it helps.
I do a really basic but really fun exercise that really helps you figure this out. So I basically have each partner go home separately and write their fantasies down.
Hey, it's me, Romy. I want to share a moment with you. You know, we often talk about healing, growth, and doing the work on this podcast, but where do you start? When you're feeling overwhelmed by life's challenges, trapped in the past, worried about the future, or like you're constantly battling your own thoughts and emotions. Living in a reactive state versus response, passing up opportunities because of lack of confidence and fear, not knowing how to set boundaries with others, but most importantly with yourself. That's why I created my Healing the Root Cause program. It's for those out there feeling overwhelmed and yearning for change, connection, authenticity. Pretty much, you're tired of your own shit. Together, using my proven root framework, we'll recognize your triggers, overcome the past, operate with confidence, and transform your life. As I say, it's not all love and light, and this healing journey is about confronting the shadows and embracing the mess, but still loving yourself through it all. I'll be right there with you, guiding you on this journey, every raw moment, every breakthrough, every step of the way. So if you're feeling that tug and want to apply to work with me, fill out the application in the show notes, and we'll see if we're a good fit for each other and take it from there. Either way, I'm rooting for you.
And they have to be unbridled fantasies. It can't be, you know, well, I don't want to write this one because it's too taboo or whatever. The fact is a fantasy is very different than a desire. A fantasy is something that is this made up thing in your mind or something you role play, but you wouldn't necessarily do it in life. You don't need to do it. A desire to me is something that you actually want to do in real life. So once we kind of make that distinction, now it's like, oh, well, I mean, if you look at the categories on like Pornhub or anything, a lot of these are things you wouldn't do in life, but the idea of it may turn you on. And there's probably plenty of Freudian reasons why, but most of those things are not things you do every day, but they're things that turn us on. If we deny the fact that we're being turned on by these things, we're doing ourselves a disservice. And now we're creating that guilt and shame within us because we're saying that what's coming up in us is not okay.
Right.
And this is an exercise to let that all up and to be able to say, yeah, I do have this fantasy that is taboo. But you know, you don't have to share it, but eventually you bring the couples back together and I do a really conscious exercise where one partner reads their list and the other partner doesn't say anything. So there's no outburst, but the other partner just raises their hand if they feel triggered or they feel something coming up around what their fantasy was. So that way the person can say it and all they see is a hand raise. And then I can address this person and have them speak consciously to like what's coming up in them. Because a lot of times it's not what they think, it's something else. And there's an opportunity for healing. Mm-hmm. So it's not really just a, here's an exercise so you guys can actually live out fantasies. It's an exercise to see what's underneath all your stuff. Right. A, can you really share your fantasies truly? And B, can your partner listen to them and not and realize they're not necessarily about them? And then when they are feeling triggered, what's happening there? What is underneath that experience? And what can we dive into that would probably heal not only this person, but the relationship in a big way. So now you've got one person explaining all their fantasies and we're working through any of the pain and issues around it on the other partner. And the other partner gets to go and same thing. And by the time we're done, people feel really good. They feel like they've emptied out all this stuff they've been holding on to forever. They've got to consciously move through a lot of issues they may have had about their other part. And now guess what? This is vulnerability too. People think vulnerability is just like, oh, sharing about my pain and trauma. No, vulnerability is also sharing about your fantasies that you never wanted to tell anyone, sharing about your desires, sharing about turn-ons that you are afraid would turn someone else off, right?
Yeah.
So now there's this closeness and trust that's been created just from doing this exercise. And then guess what? I'm sure it's obvious, but most of the fantasies are the same. You have many things you've literally been holding back from each other. And now you both want to explore it. And I can help them find ways to explore it in a safe way, not just jumping into going to like a sex party is the first thing you do. So there's a lot of different ways to explore this kind of fantasies and communication and vulnerability to help bring people together and gives them an opportunity to reignite that fire that we were talking about.
That's awesome. To be able to, there's a lot of, like I mentioned earlier, shame. So when you step into that fully, that is vulnerability. And I'm sure that brings them very much closer together like never before.
Yeah. To me, vulnerability is the gateway to intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come to me and they're like, well, how do we create more intimacy in our relationship? What are some tantra exercises you can give us? I'm like, let's start here. Are you being vulnerable with each other? What are you pretending not to know within yourself? What are you not sharing with your partner out of fear and whatever? And let's get into that. And if we can get into that again in like a safe, controlled environment, it's going to be practice for you to be able to do that more often and to be able to really then kind of step out into the more unknown and feel safe about it and be able to explore these fun exercises that, you know, everybody's doing these days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about the exercises, really about how deep are you going within each other, within yourself. And that allows the space for more.
Yeah. And that could open up to a way for partners to help each other heal from certain traumas. Because I've heard also, for example, like BDSM could be very healing if you're doing it in a safe way. I have no idea, but if you could elaborate on how that could be a healing process, because people think BDSM and they're like, oh my God, this is wild, this is crazy. But I have heard that that could be a very healing thing for somebody, for example, that might have sexual trauma or any other traumas that could help with.
Yeah, I mean, there's this quote in a book that I love called The Jewel and the Lotus, and it states that spirituality and sexuality are two sides of the same coin. And I believe that Tantra and BDSM are two sides of the same coin. It's really getting to the same result, just in different ways. So in Tantra, we like really are, let's say Tantra massage, you know, having someone come into like a deep state of surrender. It's coming into trust, coming into like, I am perfect exactly as I am, and allowing whatever needs to come through to come through. Well, in BDSM, in a sub-dom dynamic, you have subspace, right? So like a good dom is really allowing the sub to be in full control, right, in a sense. And then with that, they can let go fully and go into subspace, which is a beautiful space of, in a way, just surrender. So now how do you get there? Well, is going through a 3-hour tantric massage getting there is one way. Another way could be going through like deep impact play or role playing something from your childhood that you now you're really like wanting to work through in a more adult way, in a safe way. So there's a lot of different ways that these are really similar, and both can bring you healing for sure. And both can also cause problems, right? Like not
like,
everyone's
just
perfect.
Talking about it, like I just felt myself get anxious just, you know, thinking about it. I'm gonna like, that's coming up for me because I guess it's still in my body.
Yeah. Are you talking about the BDSM side of things?
Yeah, like the role playing, you know, from things from your past. Like that just made me feel some type of way right now.
Yeah. So let's just stop a moment and just take a deep breath to like honor that experience and see if that moves through you at all. I think it's really important to notice these things if they come up, not to just talk right past them and move past them, but to move through it, breathe, feel into it, integrate the experience. Shake it out if you need to, dance, make some sounds, tap your heart, beautiful. Sometimes humming can help regulate. Trauma is really the lasting response or impact from any unresolved distressing event, right? So it's like anything. I used to literally go around and be like, I don't have any trauma. You know, I'm clear. I'm good to go. I don't understand all this stuff. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. I got plenty of trauma. It's just not the big trauma that a lot of people have experienced, unfortunately. And I'm like, wow, like I had all kinds of stuff go on when I grew up that I didn't really resolve. And honestly, this year has been a huge journey for me. I'm taking two different trauma-informed trainings. I'm working with different coaches and really upgrading myself in ways because I realized like I didn't have the experience that I needed to really work with this. And, you know, whether you're working in Tantra, thinking you're working in the sense of like, oh, I'm helping people have pleasure and move through this, you know, you're always dealing with trauma as well, always. So it's really important to feel that and to notice that within yourself, whether you're any kind of healer or you're just having a conversation with someone and you're noticing, oh shit, something's coming up. And to take that time to just say, all right, I want to feel what this is. And maybe I want to move it through me and shake it out, or maybe I just need some space. But to really, that's the true empowerment that we talk about in these, all of these spiritual workshops and things. Right. And I think something that I'm learning more and more is it's not just about activating. You know, we're always trying to activate and everyone wants to have this big experience. And even doing Tantra massage, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, wow, like you want someone to kind of have this emotional release or whatever. But in reality, you got to let all that go. You don't want anyone to have anything. They're going to have whatever they need to have. You separate yourself from the result. But what's most important is the integration. What's most important is that this person can integrate whatever they're experiencing, feel it and learn from it and be able to safely move on. That's more important than the big experience and the activation.
Right. And integration is key to any work that you do. Like I know after this podcast, I will go sit my ass down and journal.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that's a great way to do it as well. And it's also important to find what works for you. Like everyone was pushing me into meditation. You got to meditate. You got to meditate. They still do. Cause like my mind's running a million miles per hour. And like, I try to do it. And I'm like, it just doesn't work for me. I'm not saying that it doesn't work for others, but just sitting there and kind of holding my hands out and doing this kind of om or whatever, it doesn't work. What I found works for me for meditation is I go out in my garden and I pull weeds. And I look at the birds and the bees and the butterflies and I just breathe it all in. And that's meditation too. So yeah. I think it's more important that people find what works for them than to tries to fit themselves in the box of what everyone else is saying.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love the name of your podcast. Like it's just so fitting because I've felt like that for so long because there's times in my experience in the spiritual world where I'm like, I want to run back to the corporate world because at least in the corporate world, most things are out in the open. Right? It's very clear what's going on. It has to be. There's all these rules and regulations and everything's buttoned up in certain senses. And if something extreme is going on in the extreme sense, like, okay, it'll probably come forth and there'll be a big problem and someone will go to jail or whatever it would be. But in more so in the spiritual sense, like there's just a lot of fluff and a lot of like love and light and all that. But it's like, well, let's make sure we're addressing the shadows. And like, I'm doing that big time for myself of just being like, all right, I've been doing this a while. I've made mistakes. Where's the shadows within me? And I'm doing the work and I'm always being an open space for anyone to come talk to me to share experiences. And I think we need to do more of that. I'm seeing in this space to make it safer. And by doing that, not also taking away the edge of some of these workshops that can be really powerful.
Yeah.
So I think what needs to happen more in the Tantra world is certain experiences and certain retreats or workshops should have almost a color coding. Like, hey, this is green. Anyone can take this no matter what, you know, has gone on or whatever. I mean, maybe not anyone. I do think some of this stuff is just people are not available for it yet. And maybe they have too much trauma. They need to be working with therapists. And then there's maybe level yellow, which is like, okay, you've done some of this work. And then red is like, hey, like you have to be fully accountable 100% for your own self and know that like, this is going to be triggering. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the experience. And, you know, and if you want to go to this, then sign this form and da 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 da, and go there. And even then it's still not necessarily safe for the instructors, right? We don't know what's going to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I do think there's got to be more paying attention to the shadows and the darker side of things. And honestly, like, I think that's why BDSM has a bad name. It's like this dark, shadowy, oh, in dungeons and whatever, but it's not really. I mean, like Jacqueline, my partner, does beautiful Shibari sessions that are really healing and very light and beautiful, and our aesthetics are beautiful and all that. So it's not about the stereotype of what BDSM is. It's about what can it do for you, and what is it addressing? And a lot of times it's addressing things that the kind of spiritual, more love and light world is not. So it's all beautiful. It's all important, and we need to have it all. And it's all, that is Tantra, right? We have to accept all of that. And in my opinion, I like to try it all out and see what works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. The name of my podcast is very much in alignment with the work that I do, with the work I've done for myself. I'm a huge shadow worker. A lot of people try to steer away from, oh, that just doesn't feel nice. I'm like, well, that's where you need to sit. The episode prior to yours is actually all about shadow work and what shadow work is, because people need to tap more into that. Sit where you're sitting.
And it's the toughest work there is by far. You know, it's the most challenging because you have to avoid what we all do, which is go, oh no, like I didn't do that, or I'm not accountable for that, or that's your problem. And then we just project things out and push it out to other people. So to really be able to sit down and be like, oh my God, like everything all my exes have said wasn't a coincidence that they all have been saying the same thing, right?
There's, they don't all know each other.
There's either something that is there for me to look at, or I'm going to continue to live the same way and learn the same lessons over and over and over again until I really get it. So I think that's a really important part. And it's interesting because everybody's at a different stage, you know. When I do a retreat, my retreat in Austin, for example, I have applicants and we screen and I see, wow, there's people who have done a ton of work, and there's plenty of people, the majority haven't done anything. And they're just like, this will be our first, you know, Tantra experience. And it's like, it's beautiful. And then I have to really make sure that they're ready for this and they would be good for this specific container. And I think that's why the retreat's so successful, is that me and my retreat partner, Leola, we really look into, where are these people at? What is their vibe like? Are they able to be in the space without being, take away too many resources of the facilitators or the assistants or whatever it may be? And we want everyone to have an experience and be full and be able to have any kind of catharsis they need and things like that. But the way that we created it, the flow is so really beautiful that by really like the second day, everybody's really dropped in. And there's a lot of opportunity for opening after that. So
tell me a little bit more about that retreat. What is the intention, the process? Who is it for? Because I know there's a screening process. Not like anybody could just go. And how can people sign up for it if they're interested?
Sure. So it's called the Tantra Love Retreat. It's in Austin, Texas. we're doing it two or three times a year. The next one's in September 12th to 15th. And then next year we have one in February. And then there's another one in September next year. And then we're also doing a level two in September of next year. So that's for people that did level one and or have extensive experience in this kind of Tantra world. But really, to me, the intention of the retreat is to have people feel and experience love, pleasure, healing, all in a beautiful space that isn't forced. So there's nothing that anyone needs to do at all in the retreat. You don't have to do any of the exercises you don't want to do. You don't have to participate in like Tantra massage experiences or things like that. So that's why I call it a retreat. I think some things should be called trainings and some things are retreats. Retreat is more leisurely. We give plenty of time in between. It's on a beautiful ranch. We have like horses roaming. You could go horseback riding. There's hot tubs. There's dipping pools. There's saunas. There's a sacred fire, you know. So there's all these things you can do throughout your experience. And we have workshops during the day. And then we have what's called a puja, which is work means worship or temple space, as others may know it, as kind of a place to explore what you learned and potentially play with yourself or others. And the retreat is for couples and singles. So we have a really good mix of really creating 50% or so of couples, 50% singles, 50% male, 50% female. And it, because it is curated and screened, we really get the right mix of people that allow us to drop in pretty fast, teaching about boundaries and really being able to own your power. What is my yes and no? How do I feel into my body, like everyone says, to like make a decision, and to be able to do that as an individual. And then also if you're in with a couple, to how do you do that way? So we do a lot of work in that, and everything's embodied. You know, that's what I believe, is that we can't just teach to the mind. We kind of touched on this. We got to also allow the body to feel the lessons as well. So that first day is all about that. And we do a light puja night that night, where we don't allow like everything we'd normally allow, just kind of a dropping in. And then the next day we're moving right into different themes, like your body's a temple and pleasure is power. And these are really important themes that run those days. And they involve us really asking questions like, what does nudity mean to me? Like, what is being naked for me? And it's incredible when I run this one exercise where we find out from people, what is their story around nudity, right? What is it that you've made up about you being naked, about seeing other people being naked? And is there an opportunity for you to change that story if you don't like it? One of the big things I like to teach overall is that we're all making up stories all the time. That's what we're doing. That's how we're living our life. So we might as well make up stories that work for us. And most of our stories around sexuality, around our own bodies, they're not working for us. So this retreat is an opportunity to shift that. It's an opportunity to come closer within yourself. It's an opportunity to come closer as a couple. And then also to learn different tools and exercises like tantra massage on a man and tantra massage on a woman, to really get to experience that if you so choose. Of course, that's side of it's optional. So to really be able to feel into where you're at, where you want to go, and it's all individual. So there may be someone that's going up and going crazy in the retreat, and for some people it'd be wild and they're having all kinds of sexual experiences. And then there's some people that are really just kind of staying on their own and really just taking it slowly. And we have many assistants and everyone's checking in at all times to really make sure everyone's at the place they want to be at. And that's really what makes it so powerful. And the connection that the group creates in such a short amount of time is mind-blowing. And the testimonials and the responses we've got has been like life-changing. So I'm so proud of that retreat. I'm so proud of my partner in the retreat, Leola. It's amazing to have the masculine and feminine both teaching from this space. And we just kind of, like one of the definitions of Tantra, we just weave back and forth together with our coaching and our teachings and then the different exercises. And there's a lot more that goes, there's a lot more juicy stuff that I don't want to share. But I do think that if you're interested in being in a really grounded, I'll say higher end kind of space in the Tantra world, this retreat is for you. And to get to the application and the landing page with all the information, it's talktantratome.com/retreat. So that's how you could get there. It's also, you can find it on my Instagram and my bio and all that. But yeah, it's a Tantra Love Retreat, and it's been such a blessing to be able to share with so many people. I think we're on our sixth one coming up now, and you know, we're going to keep it going and growing this beautiful retreat for everybody.
Yeah, I'll have it also linked to the show notes to make it easier for people to just find it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Of course. So before we go, I'd like to ask, in your own journey, when you hear Not All Love and Light, I know we touched based on this a little while ago, what's the first thing that comes up for you, and what advice would you give people that are currently feeling like they're in that journey?
Yeah, I think that there's too much focus in the kind of spiritual journey and the love and light and the, you know, white linen clothes and all the beautiful, you know, cacao ceremonies and sound healings, and that's all great, but everything is about balance. Everything is about the light and the darkness. And there's some negative connotation that goes around the darkness and the shadows and all of that, because there are different ways where that can be negative. And there's also ways that the light can be blinding, right? So we really get to understand that the darkness and the shadows and that side of it, the yin and the yang, they both get to be honored and accepted and allowed into the table. You know, like imagine you have this huge round table. And if you didn't allow certain emotions in, what would happen to them? You got to let everybody have a seat at the table. And that means letting the love and light, and as well as the darkness and the shadows and all these different things into the table. You got to let in the joy and the funniness and all of the excitement come in. You also have to let in like the anger, the frustration, the sadness. And when we allow it all in and we can take a look at it, then we can work with it. And if we're only doing half the work, we're only going to get half the results, and it will be unbalanced. So really, I implore everybody in this spiritual journey, not just to look at the love and light, but also to look at the shadows and the darkness, but to look at it not with, oh, this is bad, but look at it with respect and honor. And this is just part of the human experience, the same way the love and light is.
So thank you so much, Justin, for joining me today. Where can my audience find you?
Best place is on Instagram, Tantra Love Coach. I'm also doing some work with Miami Velvet, which is a swinger and sex club in Miami by the airport. So if anyone's interested in exploring like what it's like to go to a swinger club, and basically it's a regular club and there is a bunch of different rooms for play for sexuality, for sexual expression. There's also a kink lounge. There's opportunities there to explore some impact play and other dynamics in there. We have this crazy shower that I had built out, which is this beautiful group shower with these different LED rain shower lights. So it's a really cool space if you're interested in something more than a regular club. And you'll meet a lot of open-minded, like-minded people there. So that's something else that I'm working on. You'll find me there once in a while. You can follow that Instagram at Miami Velvet Club. And otherwise, yeah, all my information is on my Instagram, website's tantralovecoach.com. I'm around in Miami. I'm also traveling quite a bit in Europe this summer, and I'll be around to hear from all of you, hopefully. And if you'd like to work with me at all, just let me know.
Well, again, thank you, Justin. And remember, guys, it's not all love and light.